Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Well, he was my quarterback number two overall, and I spoke to a number of scouts who finally tell me their actual grades. He was quarterback one for about half of them, and I talked to 16. So that's 8. They got him at pick 11. So this is a guy who many believe, at least a quarter of the league, believe that was the best quarterback available, better than the guy who went number one. This is a guy who adds an element of a run game, the scrambling, 5 scrambling touchdowns, 630 scrambling yards. He adds the clean.
That's Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network. She's really good. And half the team she talked to had Justin Fields as the top quarterback of the draft, and these Bears are going to derp their way into not playing him because of some galaxy brain idea. Let's find out what Matt Miller thought of the Bears draft in its totality. He's on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He of ESPN, thedraftscout.com, is with us on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. I'm not going to lead the witness on this one. Matt Miller, Bears draft. What did you think?
Loved the beginning of it, Dan. I really did. I mean, you guys know, I know we didn't get to talk as much this year in the lead up to the draft, but I am a huge Justin Fields fan. He was my number two quarterback in the draft. And I've said so many times, if you told me that there was a quarterback who was 6'3", 230, ran a 4.3 in the 40-yard dash and had never lost a game in conference, I would have told you that that is the best quarterback in most drafts. So I'm just a big, big fan of what Justin brings to the table from an arm talent, from an accuracy, from an athleticism standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. This is the type of quarterback you want to build your team around. So I've not always been the biggest supporter of what Ryan Pace does. As a general manager, I try to be fair and honest about draft picks. I think this is the best draft choice he's made. And I say that including Roquan Smith, who I really liked. This is the best move that he's made as general manager.
Well, you ran a poll on your Twitter, and I am going to ask you a leading question because WTH, the Bears weren't on it. You had the Browns, Panthers, Jets, or others. So obviously you think one of those had the best weekend. Who was it?
Yeah, I think the Panthers had the best weekend, Layla. The reason I put the Bears in there, like, let's be fair. We got to praise Ryan Pace for selecting Justin Fields. But this left the cupboard very bare. They didn't have a pick in round 3. They didn't have a pick in round 4. I thought their round 5 pick was I know it's like round 5. You're really splitting hairs. And you're like, oh, that was a reach. I thought Larry Borum around 5 was a pretty big reach. I liked this draft, but the lack of assets and capital makes it hard to say that was the best draft. The Panthers, I think they picked up 5 or 6 starters. I will say this. They picked up 5 or 6 players who have starting-level traits. J.C. Horn is going to start. Terrace Marshall Jr. should start or see major reps. Brady Christensen, I think, is better, than their left tackle, Greg Little. Tommy Tremble was my number two tight end in the class. Davion Nixon was my number two defensive tackle in the class. Shee Smith will play big time, at least on special teams. So the Panthers, and for Scott Fitterer's first draft, Matt Rule's second draft, they just did a great job of grabbing value. And a lot of times, here's the secret to this industry. When teams have the best draft, that just means that they drafted the most hot guys who are highly ranked on your board. So the Bears have had high drafts in the past for me that didn't work out. The Las Vegas Raiders have had high drafts that don't work out. Washington has had a ton of highly ranked drafts that don't work out. So this isn't to say that the Bears draft was a bad one. I love the Justin Fields selection. I even think Tevin Jenkins, where they got him, is a pretty good value. But these teams that just had more assets get a little higher grade.
I always take it with a grain of salt when a team says, yeah, we had a first-round grade on this guy, and he fell to us in the third, or we had a second-round grade, and he fell to us in the fourth. I buy it with Tevin Jenkins, and I've looked at a lot of mocks, and I've listened to a lot of what has been said. It does seem that circumstantially, that is a legit first-round talent that it fell to them, but they jumped up to grab.
Yeah, I'll be honest. He fell for me on my board as I got into the final stages of evaluating him. Because I thought that there were only certain schemes that he was going to work for. So if you look back a month ago, I definitely had him going first round in a mock draft. That was more circumstantial as teams needed offensive tackles. So he was a top 50 player, though, without a doubt. And I think if you look at this through the prism of we're going to play him at right tackle where there's a gigantic need for an upgrade and has been for quite some time, then that's a really good pick in the second round. And perhaps the Bears looked at him and said, you know what, in our scheme, this is exactly what we need. He's a great run blocker. And to get David Montgomery going, maybe this is what they felt they needed. And if so, then yes, that's a very good pick. And I think the other thing with the Bears is if we had said Thursday morning, hey, when Friday's done, they're going to have Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins, fans would have been like, there's no way. That's my favorite part of the draft is like you say things like, there's always the, this guy will never fall here. This guy will never fall here. Well, it happens. You know, Alex Leatherwood gets drafted at 17 and some crazy things happen. So, you know, there were a lot of teams that, to back to the original question, that I thought had good drafts. The Browns had a good draft. Washington had a good draft. I thought Carolina hit a home run. But that's all, again, it's all based on what your pre-draft ranking of a player is. And sometimes scheme dictates that those need to change.
Well, also your opinion of a front office and what their likelihood is to do something like this. And that's, to me, the biggest takeaway is the Bears making the right move and knowing when to actually put all their chips in and draft the right player. Yeah. And that, to me, was as surprising as anything.
And it might be the move that saves their job. I mean, let's be honest. They were 8 games last year. Even though that happened, I think, yeah, I was saying last summer, hey, this is a year that we're, it seems like they need to win some ball games or there's going to be a pretty hot seat there. So I think that getting a chance to draft another first-round quarterback, you know, that doesn't happen very often. It's becoming a little more common, but it's pretty rare for a front office to get a second chance at the quarterback position. So I think I like Justin Fields more than I like Mitchell Trubisky, and I was a big fan of his. So I think if there's a silver lining to this, it is that they got two players, as Dan said, that a lot of people thought were first-round talents, you know, kind of a hallmark of a draft when you don't have the future assets to trade is that you're going to be light in the middle rounds to trade up, and you're going to be light next year on a first-round pick. But if Justin Fields is as good as we all believe, who cares? Like, I say this all the time, no one really remembers what Kansas City gave up to get Patrick Mahomes. Like, I mean, everybody was like, oh, there was a first-rounder involved, but nobody remembers exactly what was involved. And when you look at the trade that San Francisco made to get Trey Lance, the capital they gave up, I mean, that's record-setting draft capital they traded to get Trey Lance. So by comparison, the Bears, what they gave up to get Justin Fields, who I have rated a lot higher than Trey Lance, is a really good trade.
I started the show by saying I don't need to see Andy Dalton. The Bears seem to want to play him.
No.
They seem to want to delay everything, and whether or not that helps them keep their jobs by having the shiny new thing down there, I don't get it. I don't understand. If all of these scouting reports are true about the kind of guy that Justin Fields is, physically, mentally, professionally, personally, then put him out there week one and let's go. I don't need to see Dalton. How about you?
I don't either. I like Andy. I really do. We've seen him. I don't need to see any more of it. Like, if you draft a quarterback in the first round and you don't play them year one, like you're not doing your job. And there is, everyone's going to tweet me, oh, what about Patrick Mahomes? That is the ultimate outlier. Patrick Mahomes was coming from an air raid system to an Andy Reid system where the verbiage is very difficult to learn. And they had a quarterback who had taken them to the playoffs and Alex Smith. That situation does not apply to anyone else's situation. So please don't tweet me about that. If you draft Justin Fields at 11 and trade up for him, you better play him. That's how I see it. There's no reason not to. You know, he started for 2 years at Ohio State, didn't lose a game in conference. Even at Georgia, getting on the field as a true freshman in a lot of run packages. But this is an experienced quarterback I think we can point to what Houston did with Deshaun Watson. He went at halftime of his first game and they said, okay, you're the starter now. And Bill O'Brien, for all his flaws as a general manager, did something really smart. He catered his offense to what Deshaun had done at Clemson. Let's do more of that. Matt Nagy is supposed to be an offensive genius coming from this Andy Reid system. You know, simplify your scheme a little bit. Like, if your scheme can't accommodate Justin Fields, I would say your scheme is messed up, not your quarterback. So that's where I come in, is figure this thing out with Allen Robinson, get him locked up, and get Justin Fields out there. Because to me, what would save their job is not winning 9 games with Andy Dalton. It's proving that you drafted the quarterback of the future. The Chargers, they drafted 13th this year. They weren't good last year, but guess what? Tom Telesco has all kinds of job security because he found his quarterback. So for Ryan Pace to have job security, prove that you got the right quarterback. That's the most important thing.
You just hit for the cycle in hitting every single opinion that we've had about all of this. Alex Smith was then a better quarterback than Andy Dalton is now. The fact that they drafted him where they did. Thank you. Thank you for all of that.
And I wasn't even listening, so that's pretty impressive. We're just all working together today.
I do want to ask you this, because if there's one person who might be able to read some tea leaves, it's you when it comes to a draft and the overall picture of it. Because Denver drafted how they did, do you think that they're expecting to get Aaron Rodgers somehow?
I mean, they're going to try. Not expecting to get him might be strong, but I think they're going to try. I mean, there's no coincidences in the NFL, right? So the fact that I was standing about 18 inches away from Adam Schefter when he broke that news, guys. I mean, it was fascinating to watch. I mean, truly, it was like watching, you know, Da Vinci paint the Sistine Chapel. It was amazing.
Especially I don't think that Michelangelo like that, did it.
Yeah, whoever did. I'm tired, Dan. I haven't slept in a week. Whoever painted the damn thing. So I think that there's a reason that news comes out when it does, and I think it's telling that, you know, there were a couple teams that were immediately linked, you know, to. You're going to clip that out. That's what you're playing every time I come on the show. I think there's a reason that we heard West Coast, that we heard, you know, okay, out of conference, that eliminates this team. I think I would even – I would go as far to say, I'm not trying to report anything, I'm just hypothesizing here, that Aaron Rodgers is probably the reason San Francisco called to ask if he was available. I think it's very easy to say that Aaron Rodgers' agent or people got to San Francisco and said, hey, you might want to call Green Bay and see if they'd move the quarterback. Because why else would you make that call? I mean, you don't just be like, you know what, before we draft Trey Lance, who we traded 2 future first-round picks to get, maybe let's just go ahead and call Green Bay and just see if Aaron Rodgers is on the board. You don't do that unless somebody has said, hey, come get me, you know, for lack of a better phrase. So I do think that, you know, Denver makes a lot of sense. And I think the fact that they didn't draft a quarterback and traded, you know, peanuts for Teddy Bridgewater would point to the fact that they at least have flexibility. I think the Raiders are another interesting team, but at that point, it's a 3-team trade, right? Because Green Bay doesn't want a quarterback in return. So that becomes interesting. But Denver has assets. They got a couple good young receivers, a couple good young tight ends. They've got draft picks. They're probably not going to be very good this year, so they're going to have an early draft pick. So I'll stay off the art history analysis and just get back to football. I think those two teams, Denver and the Raiders, would be the most interesting.
We have breaking news. Charles Leonard just got cut.
Whoa!
That, according to Ian Rappaport. So I think it's safe to assume, Matt, that we see Tevin Jenkins on the left side.
Well, here's the thing. I talked to Tevin Jenkins maybe 2 months before the draft, and it's like, where do you play, man? I've seen you play right tackle, right guard, left tackle. He's like, I'll play wherever they tell me to. I'm comfortable at all 3 of those positions. So he's comfortable at left tackle. He's done it before. Definitely something to keep an eye on. But, man, you got Kyle Fuller cut essentially to bring in Andy Dalton. Now you've got Charles Leno cut. It'll be interesting. It'll be a young roster. A lot of young starters up there.
From the no coincidences department, as you say in the NFL, things happen. They say, well, I don't know. This is what we were doing. It has nothing to do with anything else. Davis Mills to the Houston Texans in the 3rd round.
Yeah, no coincidence, right? And my wonderful colleague Adam Schefter said that he thinks this could be the end of Deshaun Watson in Houston, whether that's him sitting out or the team moving on from him, you know, due to the legal situation that's going on. That's way above my pay grade, more so than Da Vinci and Michelangelo. So I think that when your first pick in the draft is a quarterback and your current quarterback is embattled in a legal scenario and is also have to be traded, probably a smart move, and I don't say that about Houston very often, but probably a smart move to get a quarterback who really is also in that Nick Caserio mold, right? 6'5", 220, pretty good athlete with a former 5-star, big arm. It makes sense, and to the point that, you know, you bring in Tyrod Taylor, now you have Davis Mills. You know, your quarterback room is not that desperate, and I think, you know, they – while Deshaun Watson wasn't moved over the weekend, I had heard that teams were still calling about him, you know, just in case. Just, hey, if this stuff, which has been very quiet, you know,
right.
if this stuff goes away, whether it's through a settlement or cases being dropped or whatever it might be, you know, what would the market look like? So I tend to believe that Deshaun Watson has played his last game in Houston, and I tend to believe Aaron Rodgers has played his last game as a Green Bay Packer.
Wow.
That's telling. That's telling right there. And I think we had one more for you quickly before you go. I don't think any of this happens for us in Chicago unless Trey Lance is the quarterback that goes to the 49ers. What did you think about that pick and the process that we heard about that sounded a lot like what happened with the Bears and Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, it did sound a lot like that. You're right, Layla, where it's like you kind of think, like, there's no way this is going to happen, right? There's no way, and then it happens. So first and foremost, I will apologize for being so adamant that it would be Mac Jones. But in this business, you just trust your sources. You trust what you're told. And I think it was a lot of people missed on that. I'm far from the only one. But
yeah, you are not the only
one
guy
hopping on radio apologizing for being wrong about it. But I like Trey Lance a lot. They gave up, I said it earlier, they gave up a record amount of capital to get him. So it has to work, right? If it doesn't, then I don't think Kyle Shanahan's fireable. He's too good at what he does. But if it doesn't work, then, you know, Kyle might be looking for a new general manager. Now, I love Trey. He's incredibly mature. He's intelligent. He's a great athlete. He has some mechanical issues, just like Justin Fields does, that have to be cleaned up. I think he has to play right away. A lot of people say, sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Forget that. He's played 17 games in college. He only played one game in 2020. Why in God's name would you want him to sit for another year? Play one game in 2 years? You're going to trade 3 first-round picks and let a quarterback play one game in 2 years? That would be the dumbest move in NFL history if they do that. So whatever they're saying in San Francisco, I really don't believe any of it, because that's the other thing. Everybody's like, oh, these press conferences, everyone's lying. Don't believe anything you hear from general managers. I think they have to play Trey Lance week one. Otherwise, like, what are you doing trading up for a quarterback who you're not going to play for a year? You're going to let him sit for 2 years. There's no way they can do that.
Matt Miller, thanks for taking your time out of your busy schedule. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you guys so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
That's Matt Miller, at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Like you say, the breaking news, Charles Leno himself just tweeted, my time in Chicago has officially come to an end. It's a bittersweet day, but I'm excited to see where this next chapter takes me. Brad Biggs is weighing in as well. If you're just joining us, Charles Leno, who has been the Bears' starter at left tackle for the last seven seasons, is now not. And we'll talk about the ramifications and what this line is going to look like next. More Bears talk straight ahead on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
You sure about that, bro?
I don't know.
You sure?
You kind of might have to, maybe, because if he retires, you know, there's all sorts of ways this plays out where he can decide he's going to retire, and there's no way to know his true motivations. Like, that's like the Carson Palmer thing, remember? When he's like, I'm done here, I'm going to retire, and he ended up being able to kind of control his destiny, and it's the same agent. So, you know, they know what they're doing here, but it was just watching them deal with all of these reports that are coming out, because if you're a general manager and you get the news that your franchise player, like, wants you fired, Brian Gutekunst found out, say, hey, Brian, did you know that Aaron Rodgers wants you to be fired? How do you feel about that?
There was a report today that Aaron's condition on returning is that you're no longer the GM. Has that been communicated to you in any way with your communication with him, with Mark, or with anyone?
You know, Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me, and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. So I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you know, listen, you certainly don't like to hear those things, but at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, but no, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
Part of the gig? How often does that happen? Well, you know, the franchise player usually just wants you personally fired when you're the general manager. It's not part of the gig. it happens.
I have an idea.
What?
Everybody, let's request Channel 7 show all the reruns of the Aaron Rodgers Jeopardy episodes, and then we all watch them.
Eh.
Ratings bump.
I didn't know that Jeopardy was such a huge cultural thing. I thought it was fine. And I know the death of Alex Trebek was a big deal. I had no idea it was such a big thing that, like, Joe Buck wants to do it full time. Aaron Rodgers wants to do it full time.
Exactly. Full time. Full time job.
No, that could be his retirement.
You can't
threat.
Do Jeopardy and be the Green Bay Packers quarterback. This stands to be noted. Peter King's Football Morning in America column quoted Rob Demosky, the ESPN Packers reporter, who has a good relationship with Aaron Rodgers, saying that the chances that Rodgers plays for the team in 2021 are less than 5%.
Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance. But seriously, how do you, let's go through the logical process of this. After what he's done, how do you come back from that, especially with Matt LaFleur and all of that? Like that relationship, and we've talked about, even after he said no comment, when the decision was made to kick the field goal, the NFC Championship game.
And we heard that from the moment that relationship started, that it was rocky regarding audibles and what he was supposed to do and not supposed to do and who was making the decisions. Why don't we hear exactly from Matt LaFleur and find out what he thinks about this lovely situation?
I'd like to keep every conversation that Aaron and I have had up to this point between us. And, you know, I know the reports out there. I mean, this guy is our quarterback, man, and he's our leader of our team. And I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform. And, you know, we've been able to accomplish a lot of great feats over the last 2 years, two straight NFC Championship games. I know the seasons haven't ended the way we've wanted them to, but in my eyes, he's the greatest to ever do it. I don't care about Super Bowls or whatnot, but we want him back here.
That's all well and good, Matt, but what if he doesn't want to be back here?
Yeah, I know, and I can't even take my brain to that spot right now. So I just want to do everything in my power to ensure that doesn't happen.
Just enjoy, if you're a Bears fan. I can't take my brain there. That's the whole thing. He can say, oh, we want him. We love him. We want him back. He knows that. Rodgers knows you want him back.
It's a beautiful mystery, you know. It's just his future's a beautiful mystery that he's making pretty obvious right now.
Such an odd bird. He really is. He's just a weirdo.
This is good, though. Let's set the stage. The Bears have a quarterback who could be their franchise quarterback for many years to come. And the drama and dysfunction is going on in Green Bay. And at least for these minutes of our lives, this is good. We take it. We're talking about offensive line depth, when to start a guy who's really good. Aaron Rodgers has an uncomfortable relationship with his team. Ha!
Must be nice to be a Bears fan today, isn't it?
Finally, go Bears!
Allow yourself that brief moment of joy. Even though the skies are cloudy, you can have sunshine in your football heart. And we'll talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.